going to take a look at a little letter that people don't often spend time reading. It's the letter of Titus, or the letter of Paul to Titus. And we're going to look at chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Listen to this. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. You know, back in the Dark Ages, the organized Christian church used to take heretics down to the public square and burn them at the stake. And you know, the people who did that believed they were saving a person's soul at the expense of his body. Better to burn and have a shot at heaven, they said, than to live and burn forever in hell, or so the thinking went back then. Today, skeptics and atheists point to the atrocities of the Dark Ages as proof positive that something is wrong with biblical religion and the God of Christianity. But today's passage makes a very important point. As the disciples wrote to the early Christian church, they made no mention of burning people at the stake or seizing their property in the name of God. Those kinds of ideas were borrowed from the Romans at a much later date, after Christianity became the state religion of the empire and pagan politics were deliberately mixed with Christian beliefs. But in the writings of the disciples, you'll find no mention of stretching racks or iron maidens as tools for spreading the gospel. In fact, the words of Jesus stand in stark opposition to the words of church leaders who came along in later centuries. In Matthew 10, verse 14, Jesus tells his disciples, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet." In other words, tell them the truth in love. But if they refuse to listen, consider your job finished and move on. No torture, no punishment, no public execution. The final verdict is not in human hands. That's left up to God. Today's passage says pretty much the same thing, but in a different context. If someone in your church is teaching heresy or doing something that divides the congregation, the proper approach is to warn them once or twice and then ignore them. Now, if you study this very carefully, you'll see what a balanced approach to religious error this really is. Before anything else happens, God is concerned about the person making the mistake, and He wants that person to be warned. The church doesn't simply kick him out. It first tries to point out his mistake. But if that fails and he continues to threaten the well-being of the congregation, the next course of action is to remove him. Not by death, not by torture, but to simply remove him from the congregation. There is no attempt to force a person to change his mind using bodily harm, because that's simply not the way God does things. So when it comes to forcing people into the kingdom of heaven, you'll find that we came up with that idea, not God. And that should give us lots to think about when it comes to how we're going to share our faith with the people around us. It's tempting to think that we can pass laws that require people to live like Christians. And while there's obviously some merit to moral guidelines in society, it's never going to work to force people into being religious. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. We did it during the Dark Ages, and it just didn't work. And allowing people the freedom to choose is not only a better way to win the world, it's also just a better way to live.